to find an historic parallel to the circumstances that we find ourselves in today with the COVID-19 virus, we have to go back more than a century. 1918, our world had an influenza pandemic, and it was the most severe in recent history. It infected over 500 million people worldwide, which at the time was one-third of the world's population, and 50 million worldwide died, and 675,000 to 700,000 died in our country in the United States. It was recorded in 1918 that fear of this virus moved in front of the pandemic as the bow wave before a ship. You've ridden in boats, and you know that at the front of the boat, as the bow moves through the water, that there is that wave that goes constantly in front of the boat. And they were describing this panic that swept across not only the United States, but the world in similar fashion as we have seen today, as this pandemic has taken root in our country and in our area and in our city. There is that sense of fear that spills over into our hearts. You know, what if we contract it? What if someone we love gets infected with the virus? Because now, on top of all the other issues we have in life, we have this pandemic that is killing people at record pace. So what can we do? As a Christian, you know that God doesn't want us to live in fear. He's not given you a spirit of fear. So how is it that we today can walk through this time and still walk with a strong faith in the peace of God? How can we live in scary days and not live in fear? Well, thankfully, the Bible is not silent on times like this, and speaks very poignantly and very powerfully to us about how we can live in these days and live victoriously and strong in our hope and peace and faith. Please turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4 and let me read verses 6 through 7, the passages that we have looked at in the last couple of weeks, and then we'll follow on with verses 8 and 9. Here's what the Bible, the words that of comfort and hope the Bible offers us in times when anxiety and stress and panic seem more profound. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul says, first, if we want to live in faith, if we want to engage the peace of God and the hope of God during this scary time in our lives, the first thing we have to do is come to the place where we determine that worry will no longer control us. It's not only a sin to let worry control us, but it will become a sickness. Worry will eat us alive. Fear, stress, That sense of looming danger, depression, worry can harm our lives in ways that will become understandable in our future. That is why the Lord has told us not to worry about tomorrow. And Paul says it this way, you've got to stop allowing fear to control you. We don't want our children raised in an atmosphere of fear. We don't want them to see what worry is doing to us. And so we've got to put a stop to it. Come to a point in time when we determine that worry will not control us. And instead of allowing these things to pile on us and drive anxiety crazy in us, we bring all these things before God and we release them to Him. And in this exchange, when we give Him our burdens, He then promises to fill our hearts with His peace. And He promises these two things about His peace. His peace will overwhelm the concerns, the problems, the fears, the worries in our heart. The peace of God will fill us and overwhelm, quieten, quench the burning fire of worry within us, allowing us to trust God in spite. Not only will God's peace overwhelm us, but secondly, it will protect us. The Bible says that it will guard our hearts and minds. And the reason is because Satan will constantly be at work trying to steal God's peace from you. That's how he operates. Once we receive God's peace, we are still commanded to walk in it, to walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will produce through us God's peace. But the enemy will be at work constantly trying to steal it. And so Paul goes on to tell us then in verses 8 and 9, not just how we can receive the peace of God, but then how we can keep the peace of God. How we can walk in the peace of God, live with the peace of God settling our soul. Paul says there's two things that we have to do. The first, he tells us, is to control our thoughts, control our mind. Listen in verse 8. After he tells us about the peace of God in verse 7, he says, finally then, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if anything is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, the action term here, the imperative term here is meditate. And the word means, of course, to think upon something. It means to consider something. It means to think upon the issues and consequences, to think deeply and profoundly, to meditate upon these things. And he goes on to tell us, what things? Things that are noble. Things that are just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report. And then he concludes that anything that has virtue, anything that is praiseworthy, you meditate on these things. Think on these things. Now, folks, here's an important issue. There are a lot of things in this world that we cannot control. We can't control where we're born. We can't control when we're born. We can't control many of the circumstances that come into our lives. We can't control who our parents are. We can't control when we die, where or when. A lot of things in this world are beyond our ability to control. But Paul says there is one thing that God has absolutely given us the ability to control, and that is what we think on, what we think about. You see, the enemy will try to steal God's peace from our heart. And the primary way he does this is by inserting thoughts into our minds that will take our focus off the completeness of God, the ability of God to meet our needs, and turn and begin to focus on our lack, our want, our fear. The enemy will try to get us to believe that God is not sufficient in a million different ways. And so God says the first thing we've got to do to keep God's peace, once we have it, to keep it, is we've got to guard our thoughts. We've got to control what we think about. Now, how do we do this? Well, turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read a passage to you here that will give us some very clear and concise information on how it is that we can learn to control our thoughts so that we can continue to walk in the peace of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is finished." Paul is saying, look, clearly understand that spiritual warfare is not fought in the physical. It is not a physical confrontation where we engage our bodies in the conflict. Spiritual warfare, instead, is a conflict against an unseen enemy. And the battleground that we fight, battle this enemy, is our minds. It's over the control of our thoughts, which will give control over our hearts. And so Paul says how we do it is that we bring every thought into captivity of Christ. It is the process through which our lives will change. It is the process through which we will discover the will of God. And it is the process through which we can learn to walk in peace. Our part in this life of living with the peace of God, our part is caught up in this little phrase, bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. Our bringing every thought into captivity is similar to, in the economy of God, in the transformation of God, our bringing these thoughts into captivity is similar to walking into this building and it being dark and me trying to find the light switch. Why would I look for the light switch immediately? because I know that this building is wired for electricity, and that it's wired in such a way that all I have to do is to flip that switch. And when I flip that switch, all the other issues energize together and they create light. God deeply desires to fill you with His Spirit and to allow you to walk in His Spirit, that you might live in His peace. And God has created an entire system for this to work in your life and mine. Our part is to bring every thought into captivity. That's flipping the lights. When we learn to do that, it engages the machinery of God. It engages the power of God to bring transformation, to walk in His will, and to live in His peace, bringing every thought. Quickly, four A's. Words that start with the letter A. Four A's for controlling our thoughts. First, aware. Whenever we become aware of a thought into our mind, we bring it before the Lord. There is awareness. Secondly, there is the arrest. When that thought comes into our minds and we become aware of it, we literally, and that is the word, we arrest it. We bring it into captivity. It becomes our prisoner. And we then bring it before the Lord. We arrest it for Jesus. And we allow the Lord to say about that thought that has come into our mind, that is a thought that I reject, God says, or it is a thought that I accept. God will say, I gave you that thought, or that thought I reject. And so the third and fourth A, I become aware of the thought. It comes into our minds. I arrest that thought and bring it before Jesus. And then thirdly, I abandon that thought. If Jesus says, this is not from me, I turn away from that thought and I refuse it. And I refuse it again and again and again and again and again, as many times as I have to. Because the fourth A is to accept the holy thought. If Satan's trying to lie to you with a thought God rejects, then allow God's truth to replace that, and you accept it. You become aware of the thought, you arrest it and bring it before Jesus, you abandon it if God says that's not for me, or you accept it if the Lord says I gave you that thought. Thoughts that are noble, thoughts that are true, thoughts that are of good report, thoughts that are lovely, thoughts that are virtuous, thoughts that are praiseworthy. These are the thoughts that we are to keep, control, and meditate upon. And then there is a second thing we have to do, not just to control our thoughts, but secondly, to conform our behavior. Again, we have to constantly keep this spiritual truth before us. And that is that in these days, we are in heightened spiritual battle. The enemy is trying to induce fear and panic into the lives of God's people. You don't have to be a victim to that. Despite the circumstances, God invites us right now to declare that you're through with worry. You're through with letting fear control your life. You're drawing a line in the sand and you're going to trust God and walk by faith. And so you make that determined resolution. Then bringing these needs and these fears and these panics, all the things that are heavy and weighing upon you, finances and health and all of these things, and you spend the time before God, whatever time it takes to release these things, and stay there until the Spirit of God fills you with His peace. And that it will be so blessed. That will be such a welcome relief and joy from the taskmaster of fear. But you will find yourself as much joy as the peace of God brings, you will find soon thereafter the enemy trying to steal it from you. And he'll attack you in your thinking first. He'll try to make you think that the peace of God is a farce, that it's just mind manipulation, that there is not this holy creator that is instilling in you something that he has given you. No, it can't be that. It's got to be mind manipulation. That's a lie. Don't let Satan lie to you like that. Jesus says, "My peace I give you. Not as the world. My peace I give you." So we've got to control our thoughts, but we've also got to conform our behavior. Paul said, "You learned from me. You saw me. You walked with me. You saw God working in my life. And so what you saw in me in the times and heard from me while we were together, you live out your faith. You walk righteously. Walk with God. Walk in the joy of this fellowship." What you will find is, if Satan cannot be victorious through controlling our thoughts, he will then attack us in a point of our weakness. He will tempt us to sin in behavior. If he can't get us to sin in thinking, he will try to get us to sin in behavior. But what you will find is that when you give in to the temptation to sin and you embrace the promise, the lies of Satan that this sin is going to bring you so much joy, greater sense of joy than what you're experiencing now, and there will be that passing sense of pleasure that sin will bring, but then in the end, the Bible says it bites like a serpent. And you will soon see that you surrendered the peace of God to chase after a deceptive lust. You will learn that what God gives in the gift of His peace, that there is nothing in this world worthy of surrendering my peace for. There's nothing this world offers that can touch this blessed, overwhelming peace of God. But you know the primary reason to walk in the peace of God, to live in the peace of God? The primary reason? Colossians 3:15 tells us that we are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And that word rule means to umpire. It means to make a judgment. And so God has set up His relationship with his people in this way. That in the decisions that he would have you make, in the directions that you're walking in this life, God would love to lead you and me in his way, in his will. We're always wondering, what would God have me do? What is the will of God? Well, God desires to lead us through his peace. Letting his settled peace make the judgments in our lives, call the shots in our lives of what we should do, where we should go, of finding the will of God. There are so many blessings to God's peace. But right now, primary for this time, that God's peace can stabilize you. That God's peace can empower you. That God's peace can enable you right now through this to lead your family in his way, in his will, in his peace, and not allowing Satan to get his finger cracked in the door of your home to set up a base of fear. Don't let it happen.